Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We made good
Good.
timing. We were back by 3 o'clock today, so I didn't think I'd get back till about six, but so that was good.
And I hope you had a good report out of the doctor.
Yes, this is kind of like alternative health measures. Glutathione is really boosts the immune system, so it's kind of
Okay.
wonderful to us. Medicare quit paying for it, and so I quit going. And he sent word by my daughter and told me to come back, and was going to do it. Take care of me without any to pay him. And I said, well, I can't do that. He said, well, if you insist, then he only charged $30. I said, what a blessing.
Understand. So often, how often do you go see him?
Yes,
About once a month.
okay.
But he didn't tell me for a whole year that Medicare didn't pay. I get these papers and they say this is not a bill, so you don't look at it. And he didn't tell me, or the office didn't tell me. And but he's the coroner of St. Martinsville. He's also a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve, and he does a lot of, charity work as a doctor. So he's a very wonderful person.
We are waiting for somebody else.
Okay, I thought I heard
Jasmine.
somebody. Yeah, Jasmine.
Jasmine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, how come I don't hear you?
Say, Jasmine, but you guys were talking. That's okay.
Well, you got to interrupt us, otherwise we don't get started.
Well, I'm going to go
Okay.
ahead and speak.
So please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anabekoa Gedula Chimincha Tatir Zerura Alephet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu Taharenu No Freshayim Simtet Nun. Na Gibor Gorshe Yehud Chan Kevavat Sham Ram Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barachem Tacharem Rachamei Sikatcha Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Bero Tuvcha Na'el Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Penei Zokrei Kiddushatah Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. the letters of the month of Tammuz, the Taf that creates the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon, and the Chet that creates the constellation Sartan, the crab, the astrological sign of Cancer. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we are going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we'll utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Ech Apayim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Naseaon Vafesha, V'chata'a V'nake. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat, the year 5777, by studying two verses. The first verse we study is in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. But we will start with a L'shem Yichud first. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Brichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Dhilu Dhilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konanehu Tzotzod Saduni Katzipor O Yevai Chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to this energy of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. The letters themselves are separated by seven other letters first, or each. Kim ba Adonai Yohei Wahei Eloheichem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. Now, for the year of the pause, the year 5776, there are also two verses. And these verses, the first that we study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat velo yachlu lehavshi et kol ha'olot Vayechaskum Acheichem Halevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu HaKohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav Lehitkadesh Me HaKohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me Hey 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 Aka A Reka Ha. And Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 4, is the second verse that connects to the energy of the pause. Ifu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olami. The year 5775 is the year that swallows death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second of the three is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachado iyam. Asher yitzabe sham ushavtem. Eli el nachom. Wehalati item. Wehayayim yeshno. Baretz vihipasti. O Tob, call Alfe Yehuda. And the third is from Job also, from chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetach yoved roav yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisanti makom le'amili Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'aktav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto kasher barishona. Now we're going to read a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. This verse from the Zohar is in Parashat Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar, Ika Matar, Tane Nan Dekudsha, Perichu Koma Deaved, Leila Witata. Kolaihu Bishot Yovada Dikshot Kwele Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach Yalea Mineya Ulan Haga Beyau Kalana Yahakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola It's the reef. The Alma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. We'll read the first row of the chart together, and then we'll scan the balance of the chart. Wahe wayo la yo. Zayot te alame, mehe shila lahe, aka are, kahe ta. Please scan the balance of the chart. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we'll say the first row of the chart out loud together, and then we'll scan the balance. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a at me me be shi la yo he anu ha ka me ta. Go ahead and scan the balance. the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 25th day of Tammuz, Rabbi Meir Halevi of Apta. He is the son of Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Aaron Bracha of Modena. In the 8th verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is continuing our study of the Third Temple. It's on the handout is on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's the 10th row of that matrix, the third column from the left, which is the second column from the right. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to Class 2A, and when you open that link up, it will be at the location titled The Keys to the Third Temple, which is where we left off last night. In Mishkanei Elyon, the Ramchal provides vital keys to understanding both the physical form and the spiritual meaning of the Third Temple. The Rambam had written, even though the building destined to be built in the future is written about in Ezekiel, it is not explained, nor is it clear. Even the Mishnaic sages were perplexed by difficulties in Ezekiel's prophecies, including certain apparent contradictions to the halakha. In the words of the Talmud, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Hananinya ben Chizkiah, is most certainly remembered for good. If it were not for him, the book of Ezekiel would have been removed from the canon, because his words seemed to contradict the Torah. What did Hanina do? They brought him up 300 barrels of oil for light and food, and he sat in an attic and reconciled all of the difficulties. Notwithstanding the labors of Hanania ben Chizkiah, or Hananiah ben Chizkiah, Ezekiel's prophecies remained a closed book for all but the most outstanding of scholars. The account of Ezekiel's vision of the Third Temple contains many passages whose meaning is extremely hard to determine, even with the help of the classical commentators. Trying to build a picture of the basic design and layout of the temple buildings as seen by Ezekiel can be a daunting task. Rav's expression of appreciation for the labors of Hanania ben Chizkiah can therefore surely be applied to the Ramchal, who explained the structure and purpose of the Third Temple with the crystal clarity of a Rambam. From the day the sanctuary was erected in the wilderness, the temple in its various manifestations has been the focal point of the entire devotional system of the Torah. It was from the Holy of Holies that Moses and all the later prophets received their prophecy. It was to the sanctuary in Shiloh that the childless Hannah went to pour out her heart in whispered prayer, becoming the model of tefillah, prayer, for all time. Hints about the meaning of various aspects of the temple and its services can be found throughout the Zoharitic writings, and those of the Ari and other Kabbalistic sages. But nowhere in the whole of rabbinic literature is the significance of the temple as a devotional focus for the children of Israel and indeed all of humanity explained systematically and with such clarity as in the Ramchal's Mishkanei Elyon. This is not to suggest that the Mishkanei Elyon is easy. It deals with matters that stand at the very summit of the universe. For the temple includes all the Sephirot and all the worlds. A work about the meaning of the temple must necessarily deal with the secrets of Ma'aseh Bereshit and Ma'aseh Merkava. Those two phrases are really the basic tools of Kabbalah. Ma'aseh Bereshit means the workings of creation. And Ma'aseh Merkava is the workings of the chariot. Creation is a static process. It's not really static, but it's like the beginning and the end. The Merkava is the process of how one gets from the beginning to the end and then finds themselves back at the beginning. And while those words I just said is my commentary, and I'm sure they're confusing, they are helpful in understanding these differences between the Ma'aseh Bereshit and the Ma'aseh Merkava. And there are people who have an affinity for one or the other. There are very few who have an affinity for both. The beginning portion, as I said earlier in our previous classes, the beginning portion uses the same tools. They practice the same practices. And it's only as they develop and go into deeper levels that a student of Kabbalah finds the path that they need to follow. Continuing to read. These matters must be approached with the utmost reverence and humility and with many prayers to God for enlightenment. Ready-made from heaven or built by man. Does the third temple come down ready-made and complete from heaven, or do actual people have to build it? According to Rashi, the future temple for which we are waiting will be revealed and come down from heaven, fully built and complete, as it is written, the sanctuary, Hashem that your hands established. On the other hand, the Rambam states that the main identifying sign of the Mashiach will that he will physically build the third temple in its proper place. The Ramchal helps us understand how both opinions express different aspects of the process by which the third temple will come into the world. He writes, in time to come, not only will the heavenly and the earthly temples be similar, the upper house will extend until it reaches the lower world. This is the meaning of the saying of our rabbis, that the third temple will be the work of the hands of Hashem. For the heavenly temple will not be uprooted from its place. Rather, it will extend until it reaches the lower world. Around it, a physical structure will then be built, as befits this material world. And the two structures will be joined and become one, and will never again separate. God's glory will be fully revealed there, as it is said, and the glory of God will be revealed, and all flesh will see. Then there will be complete peace, and happiness forever. In other words, a spiritual emanation of the temple will come down into this world from the upper world, and around it the physical reality of the third temple will be built. And this is an unwritten commentary. As this extension of the upper temple comes into the world, not everybody will be able to see it. Just as there are people today who can see auras and other people cannot. Just as some people will hear or are capable of astral travel and some are not. The Mashiach, who will have the responsibility, and what will identify the Mashiach, is that he will be able to see this location where this extension of the upper temple has come into the physical world. And because he will be able to see it, that will identify him as being the Mashiach. Continuing to read. In explaining Ezekiel's vision of the third temple, the Ramchal has indeed brought the idea of the third temple down from heaven into this world. The more that people study and grasp the temple idea, the nearer will they bring the day when humanity will come to its senses, cease its futile cycles of war and destruction, and join together with one accord to worship the one God in the third temple. As already noted, the Ramchal states the purpose of Mishkanei Elyon in his opening words. My purpose in this work is to discuss the subject of the heavenly temple mentioned by our sages, to explain its form and structure in all their various details, and to show how the earthly temple is in direct alignment with it in its structure and all its dimensions. Now I will lay these matters before you in a single, all-inclusive, introductory work that will enable you to understand the way the world is run and how Hashem gives each day's portion of food and sustenance to all of his creatures, each in its proper time. The primary focus of Mishkanei Elyon is upon the form of the heavenly temple. But since this is the prototype of the earthly temple, much of what applies to the heavenly temple also applies to the earthly temple. In many passages in Mishkanei Elyon, the Ramchal speaks simultaneously on a number of different levels, a feat made possible by the richness of the Hebrew language. The Ramchal explains step by step how the entire heavenly temple and all its details emanates from a single place or point. This point exists on a plane that is beyond space as we know it, one that we could perhaps call metaspace. In the terminology of religion and Kabbalah, this is the spiritual plane above, as opposed to the material world here below. Indeed, this point, source of the heavenly temple, is ultimately the source of space as we know it. This heavenly place or point corresponds to the Evan Shtiyah, the foundation stone in the earthly temple. This is the rock on the Temple Mount that is called the belly of the earth, the place from which the entire earth emanated, like a fetus growing in from the belly outwards. It is from the heavenly point corresponding to the earthly, Evan Shtia, that all the lights that bring the heavenly temple into being shine forth. This point corresponds to the last of the 10 Sephirot, or the divine attributes of which the Kabbalah speaks. And this is the Sephirah of Malchut, the kingly power through which all the upper Sephirot shine. This Sephirah is also called the Shekhinah, the indwelling presence of God. Starting from this point, the Ramchal traces the emanation of the heavenly temple, beginning with the Holy of Holies and moving on successively to the main sanctuary with its gate and vestibule. The surrounding inner temple courtyard with its massive stone sacrificial altar and various chambers, the outer courtyard and its chambers and gates, and finally, the Temple Mount. The Ramchal explains the principle governing his choice of route. I will follow the path of the flow of blessing, of Shefa, as it emerges from the source and spreads forth on all sides. I begin, therefore, with the place from which it emerges, and I will tell you in which direction it travels after leaving there, and which path it takes at the beginning, and which path it takes at the end. My commentary. When we get to this section of the translation, you will find it extremely stimulating. Until then, I do not truly have any comment. I am far from the level of spirituality of the Ramchal. His vision is much clearer than mine, and even that statement is an expression of ego that I need to reduce. Shefa. There is no simple one-word equivalent of the Hebrew word shefa, shin pei ayin. In most places in this translation of the Mishkanei Elyon, phrases such as the flow of blessing and sustenance have been chosen in an attempt to convey something of the true meaning of the word. My commentary on the word Shefa is to take the shin and recognize that it represents balance and passion. To take the pay and recognize that it represents our mouth, which is the malchut, which are words, which are ideas being manifested. And the ayin, which is the concept of vision. So in a short form, Shefa can be expressed as the vision of the mouth expressing its passion. Continuing to read. In contemporary Hebrew, Shefa means plenty or abundance, but the root word has the connotation of influence. especially a positive, beneficial influence that one person or object has on another. The related word hashapa'ah signifies the influence that a mashpia, a source of influence, has on the recipient of that influence. In Mishkanei Elyon and in Kabbalah generally, Shefa refers to the spiritual influences which emanate from the higher levels of creation in order to sustain the lower and help bring them to their destiny. The word creation here refers to all the different worlds and levels brought into being by Hashem. These created worlds encompass not only this material world of Asiyah, action, in which we live, including the earth and all that it contains, and all the planets and stars and galaxies to the outer limits of the physical universe, but also the spiritual worlds that exist in the metaspace that is above our world of Asiyah. These are the world of Yetzirah, which is formation, the world of the angelic hosts that sustain and govern the stars, the planets, and other natural phenomena of Asiyah, and the world of Bria, creation, the world of the higher angels, the officers that govern that the angelic hosts of Yetzirah. The world of Bria is also known as the world of the throne. Beyond Bria lies a realm of godly unity that is the source of all these created worlds. This realm of unity is the world of Atzilut, the world of emanation, from which the light of the ten Sephirot shine forth to create, to sustain, and to govern all the lower worlds. Creation is not only a single past act, it is also a continuing process in which all the worlds are governed in such a way as to bring all things to the ultimate goal. The complete revelation of Hashem on all levels of creation. To accomplish this goal, there is a continuous influx of various kinds of power or energy into creation. These powers sustain and govern all the different levels of creation, spiritual and physical, so as to bring all things to the ultimate goal. The flow of power and energy is called Shefa. The ultimate goal of creation is the endpoint to which everything is moving. The reason why everything is going in that direction is because that is where Hashem is making everything go. To make something go is to drive it, as when one drives an animal or a car. The Hebrew word for driving is hanhaga, from the root nahag, which means to drive or make something go. The Kabbalistic concept of hanhaga refers to the way the worlds are actually governed in order to bring everything to the ultimate goal of creation. Creation is seen as being driven by Hashem, somewhat as a chariot, a merkava, and the animals pulling it are driven by the charioteer. The animals of the divine chariot are the chayot, the higher angels that are the vital forces of creation. As the chayot draw the chariot, the ofanim, literally the wheels, go round and round. These are the lower angels that govern the great wheels of cycles of creation. The hanhaga or driving is ultimately determined by the one sitting in the driver's seat. This being the throne of kingship, From it the king governs all his armies or legions, the souls, the angels, and other orders and levels of created beings. All these hosts are God's armies, sent to accomplish his purpose. And he sustains them and provides all their needs according to their different levels, both spiritual and physical. The sustenance sent to sustain and influence all the divine levels is Shefa. Central to Mishkanei Elyon is the idea that it is from the temple that the Shefa of blessing and sustenance is drawn down to all the worlds in positive, beneficial ways. The temple service is what actually elicits the flow of Shefa and causes it to come down to all the various levels of creation according to their respective needs. The temple is the king's palace where all his officers and captains assemble, as it were, to receive what they need for themselves and those under them. The entire palace is laid out accordingly to provide the appropriate areas for all the different grades and ranks. There are set times for them to come forward, all within their respective boundaries. Everything is arranged according to an overall Seder, an overall order. The key to understanding this order is to study the path by which the Shefa comes to its recipients. Understanding this pathway unlocks the mystery of the temple layout and its service. This is why the Ramchal sets himself to follow the path of the flow of blessing, of Shefa, as it emerges from the source and spreads forth on all sides. My commentary. This section called Shefa is a commentary by Rabbi Greenbaum that attempts to bring the material written by the Ramchal into a summary form. The language is Kabbalistic, but it does not relate to the language of branches, and in my opinion, leaves much to be desired. It is hard to follow as it is written, since it is incomplete. I will attempt to clarify this as we read along with the Ramchal. That's the end of our section, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions?
It's not exactly a question, but sort of an observation. It was in yesterday's class that I noticed you had given a reference. Let's see if I can find it. I just thought it was interesting, and I haven't had a chance to pursue it, but it was from a Zohar, the translation of 138 Gates, which is commentary on the last word of the Kumash, similar to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Kuni Zohar, as being a commentary of the first word of the Kumash Bereishit. It was this notation of this translation. Now, I didn't see that there. But I had gone to that site earlier, and I had seen the 138 gates outline. And there's one whole section that has the same title as one of the words on your commentary every week, you know, with the speckled and spotted sheep that Jacob brought forth from his speckled and spotted polars that he put in front of the watering trough. And I just wondered if you were aware of that.
I wasn't. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know what it means yet, but I saw that before I saw your notation on this commentary. So I just looked up another little link, but I haven't had a chance to pursue it.
I understand. Well, I just pulled up a link, and you can buy
the book is $50.
The 130 is on it's for sale on Amazon for quite a bit of money. Over $150.
Well, I think on his side it was 50. I think it was 30, but it was $20 shipping.
Right.
But anyway, there's a long list of statements after this title that says Nicodem. And because I didn't have time being gone today, so I'll try to check into it. And if you have time, maybe you can too.
Can
you say what
is
the name of the book again?
I'm sorry?
What is the name of the book again? 138 Gates?
Yes, that's the name of the book.
Of wisdom?
No, it just says the 138 Gates. Let me make sure of that. But I believe that's what it is.
I printed the list, but I don't have it in.
It is the 138 Gates of Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Gates, that's it?
Well, it's I'm looking at a hardcover, it says the 138 Openings of Wisdom.
Okay. Well, Gates.
Openings of Wisdom?
138 Openings of Wisdom. Yes.
Oh, I see here.
And It's not available on Kindle, so.
Oh.
It looks like it's out of print, and so it's only available by, you know, certain booksellers who still have it, who have priced it wherever they want.
Mm-hmm. By Moshe Chaim Luhato?
Yes, that's the one. I have that book in storage somewhere, one of my locations. And hopefully it'll show up in my life one of these days.
Okay.
But it is not an easy book. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow is Wednesday.
To read all the links, all the statements in that section. I didn't have time to do that, and I won't have time tomorrow, because at least not tomorrow morning, because I'll be gone most of the morning. But maybe just reading the statements that are under that group may give, you know, maybe mean something. So we just have to work on it.
The web page you mentioned for $30, I found it.
Does it still show that it's opening? Where is it? Is it on Zamra?
Mm-hmm. Zamra, yeah. Zamra donation sales.
I found that they said it was 30 and then the shipping was 20.
It is. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but
now today in the car today,
available.
I finished the first letters and the last letters and words that I could come up with. So I'm going to try to type that up by the weekend. So maybe we can all get something there and pass it on to you, and you can help us with it.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, it's available online.
Well, that's what they said, but I couldn't find it. So did you find it online? All I found is the app line.
Where online did you find it?
Well, go to azamra.org, then to the bookstore, to the books link, and then scroll down until you find the book, and then you will see it. It's listed in as online, or as a hard copy, or it's also in Spanish.
Oh, wow.
And I'm looking at the
they didn't have the word written in Hebrew. I mean, it just said Meet the Dean. It was one of the titles. And that's not what caught my attention at first. What caught my attention was one of the statements that linked that word to the negative side. And then when I looked backwards, you know, that's when I saw the title of that particular section was Nickel Dean. And that's one of the words, one of the three words, you know, from the speckled
right.
Spotted. And
yes, from Akadim, Nikadim, Biridim.
Mm-hmm.
It is online, but as I'm looking at it, all of the Hebrew words are just coming up as question marks. So you're not able to see what the actual Hebrew words are, which will make a difference. But it is all there.
Okay.
You have amazing capabilities. So tomorrow we have three classes. The 1:30 class will be the Tikkun Rachel. The 4:30 class will be a mini Zohar class. And the 7 o'clock class will be questions and answers. And if we don't use the time, we will continue reading class 3 on the temple. So I wish you all a beautiful evening and wish you all shalom.
Okay, thank
shalom.
You. Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Shalom.